Good morning and welcome to the White Way, a public service radio program of the Moili'ili Honganji. Moili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.moili'ilihonganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Jean Yokota in memory of Mitsue Yokota. Our speaker this morning is Joshua Hernandez Morse, head of the Pacific Buddhist Academy. Good morning, Mr. Hernandez Morse.
To all the listeners of the White Way broadcast, I want to wish you a good day. My name is Josh Hernandez Morse. I am the head of school, Pacific Buddhist Academy, a role I feel privileged to have served in since 2014. Even better, I have worked for PBA, as we like to call our school, since we opened in August of 2003. Now, as a Buddhist school, one of the emphases we have placed on our learning programs is to insist our work is to awaken students to the world as it really is. The ambition to awaken anyone to the world as it really is assumes we ourselves, the educators, are awakened to it in the first place, when we know, of course, that's flawed. My purchase on the truth may not be particularly great. I'm certain I suffer from as many blind spots in seeing as the next person does. Nonetheless, if not perfect, we take comfort in the fact that we are older, wiser, and more well-trained than are the students that are our charge. But the effort to see things as they really are means we do not shy away from political or cultural or historical matters of relevance in the present. One of those political, cultural, historical matters of relevance today is the Black Lives Matter movement, the most recently regained prominence after the killing of George Floyd. I first addressed PBA students about Black Lives Matter in August 2016. Black Lives Matter was founded in 2013, and I had paid attention to the efforts of the group for some time. But in August of 2016, I became concerned with the discourse about Black Lives Matter. I was concerned that too many people were not seeing the organization in the fullness of its historical context, which, a PBA anyway, is understood to be a prerequisite to seeing things as they really are. Here was my message to the students in an assembly we held in August 2016. I began with a passage from the United States Declaration of Independence. Aspiration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those, these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And then I went on to address the students. My message that day about Black Lives Matter. As all of you know, it is the mission of this school to prepare you for college, to enrich your lives with Buddhist values, and to develop your courage to nurture peace in yourself, your community, and the world at large. The world at large could use a little more peace right now. I want to start first by acknowledging Bishop Matsumoto's Dharma talk and temple service last Friday. I thought he delivered a powerful message by listing a large number of places where people have recently died because of gun violence, and by making the argument that the solution is not to defeat or eliminate our enemies, but to seek opportunities to practice peace. I don't know of many people courageous enough to make that argument. The logic of violence, that peace is only possible after we defeat our enemies or avenge wrongs against us, consumes everything and everyone in its path. I want to focus my remarks on a protest movement begun by three queer black women, Patrice Cullors, Opal Tometi, and Alicia Garza, after the killing of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin and the acquittal of his killer, George Zimmerman. The movement is called Black Lives Matter. Its founders, the women I named, describe Black Lives Matter as, quote, an ideological and political intervention. They seek to create a space for the celebration and humanization of black lives. Predictably, a number of counter-movements have sprung up, some sympathetic to the aims of Black Lives Matter, but appropriating the name with new names like Brown Lives Matter, Women's Lives Matter, Immigrants' Lives Matter, etc. On their website, Black Lives Matter Founders contends that these progressive movements make, quote, some unfortunate errors when they push for unity at the expense of really understanding the concrete differences in context, experience, and oppression, unquote. I couldn't agree more. It is true, of course, that brown lives and women's lives and immigrants' lives matter. And, as the Buddha contended in the Four Noble Truths, we all suffer. It is a fact of our existential condition. But there are differences in how we suffer, and the differences matter. Previous First Lady Michelle Obama made an important recognition in her speech to the Democratic National Convention just weeks ago when she noted that her family wakes up in a White House built by African slaves. The African slave trade lasted for centuries. So it is with more than a little aggravation that I listened to news stories more recently about a counter-movement taking place in proximity to the presidential elections called All Lives Matter. I will admit that I get angry knowing such an organization even exists, since it positions itself, arising after the Black Lives Matter movement, as nobler and more enlightened. I want to warn all of you against accepting the premise of the reactionary claim that counter-movement adopts. It's an offensive claim. Taken in isolation, of course, no one will argue with the idea that all lives matter, although if it did appear in isolation, that is, if Black Lives Matter had never happened, All Lives Matter could be easily dismissed with a, so what? Of course they do. But All Lives Matter did not appear in isolation. It came as a reaction to the previous, and it positions itself as having a higher moral quality, and therefore contends that the cause of black liberation that the Black Lives Matter group supports is unimportant, is unenlightened. Differences matter. If you care at all about the situation of our country, you should care to learn how things got this way, and how they are. You should care to understand that of the 2,224,400 people incarcerated in the United States, 37% of that population is black, while only 13% of the general population is. And black Americans are 2.5 times more likely to be shot and killed by police officers. These don't mention the historical legacy of slavery, as I already discussed, followed by Jim Crow and anti-miscegenation laws, the current efforts to disenfranchise black voters in many states around the country, and the lack of economic opportunities for African Americans, the context of systemic racism within which black Americans live. Given these, it's important to assert that black lives matter. Saying so does not imply that other lives don't matter, any more than telling a friend you care about her implies you do not care about your other friends. To be certain, if we begin to navigate into the complicated terrain of identity politics in this country, we might easily get lost. But the critique of the Black Lives Matter movement is paternalistic and seeks to reinforce current structures of inequity. Think critically, students. Think for yourself. Work hard in your classes so you can better understand and unpack the claims being made in the country right now, this election season. That was my message in August of 2016. I think it holds up in July 2020. And this is, again, an election season. I was very interested and not a little proud with the large number of PBA students and alumni that expressed their solidarity with and support for the protests erupting after the killing of George Floyd, just as I was concerned that they take care of their own health and the health of their families if they participated in direct action like protests or mural events or marches. In 2020, PBA has alumni in Hawaii, many parts of the U.S. mainland, Japan, and other parts of Asia and Europe. Numbering among them are educators, veterinary technicians, medical researchers, social workers, accountants, agricultural science experts, environmental advocates, mothers and fathers, artists, and members of the military. And that's not the whole list. They may not all agree on every issue. I hope they don't agree on them all. But if their education at Pacific Buddhist Academy was successful in any measure, they will share among them a belief in the inviolable dignity of all beings. They will share a belief that our histories matter and that seeing the world as it really is requires examination, study, and dialogue. They will agree that Black lives matter. And they will direct their efforts in their communities to the practice and realization of peace for all members therein. To the listening audience, I urge you to take care of your health. I hope you look for news about Pacific Buddhist Academy and our school programs. And I urge you also to support the efforts of communities that were historically oppressed to seek redress, healing, and uplift. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez-Morse, for your Dharma message. To re-listen to the message, please check our website at www.moiliilihonganji.org. Tomorrow, Sunday, July 12th, the speaker at our 9 a.m. Zoom and in-person Obon service will be Reverend Kazunori Takahashi, Executive Secretary to Bishop Matsumoto. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, Mr. and Mrs. Jin Yokota, and our speaker, Mr. Hernandez-Morse. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week when our speaker will be Reverend Jeffrey Soga of Waipahu Honganji. Namo Amida Butsu.